League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Why is it so cold in my house? I wake up every morning. This is Los Angeles. It's warm outside, and here it's cold as a witch's titty.
Well, I have a solution. It's very warm in my house right now, so come home. Enough is enough. Just come. Go to your home. Are you too good for your home?
Look at me.
What?
You think I'm gonna live in your house when you got a teenager in there? I'd rather be colder than a witch's titty.
Fair point. Well, he tells no lies. Welcome, everyone. Do I Think Not, the podcast where I have a teenager and I'm hanging on by a thread, and Joey has nipples that could cut glass. We are here. That's it. We made it.
Welcome. We are here.
Welcome to I Think Not, everyone, the podcast where Joey Taranto and me, Ellen Marsh, recap your favorite true crime TV shows episode by episode. And we are at the end of People Investigates. I have so much to say about this series. Are you enjoying it? Have you enjoyed it?
I think it's great. I think it's really a very well-done series. However, some of the editors who talk from People Magazine have the personalities of a wet mop.
Mm-hmm.
They have all the charisma of a hysterectomy. So,
I mean, not for nothing. I have met some hilarious hysterectomies, but
great.
I see your point. I just feel like this series, it's very well done. It's very thorough. I just feel like it's one long blue balls, like what I would imagine blue balls to be. Do you know, I actually thought the balls turned blue for another podcast, but yeah. I did.
No, it's a lot of edging on this series.
Yes. It's like the end of Clue. Could have been that.
Yep. Yeah.
But maybe it was this too.
Yep.
But we are enjoying it. And if you would like some of our other more lighthearted series, some of them, head on over to our Patreon, patreon.com/ithinknot. And we have some lighter stuff over there. Frogging.
Pink collar crimes.
You all, this is Joey's morning voice, by the way. We had to reschedule a recording. My bleary-eyed sweet boy. Listen, I know 10 a.m. is the crack of ass for a gay man out in those L.A. streets. He is busy. There is not enough lube in the state of California. I'm just kidding. But everything is over there. And we are having our quarterly paint party on November 24th. You have to go over to our Facebook or our Instagram to see this beautiful piece. We all do the same thing. And our local wackadoo artist, Downvich, leads us through like a paint and sip party. And I've gotten a lot of messages about people saying, well, I'm not a very good artist. You all, I draw like Cheetah Rivera drawing with her toes. But it's still fun. I will tell you who's a really good artist, and that is our very own Joey Taranto. Your pieces always turn out shockingly good.
Shockingly. Thank you very much. I was a very artistic child. I did like
to
sketch. Yeah. Very.
He's artistic.
Listen, no one could draw Betty and Veronica from the Archie comics better than me as a child. And that's why I'm gay.
That's why your parents are disappointed every day. All
half
day.
Of them are. One of them is.
Don't sell him short. He's looking at you side-eyed down from heaven.
Y'all, really, it is so much fun. We just giggle. It's a good time. So literally, for as little as $5, you can get 4 bonus episodes. But even if you're not on the Patreon, we're just happy you're here. We love that you're a part of the community, and we're grateful.
Yeah. Without further ado, because goodness knows that was enough do. You all, People Magazine Investigates is coming with the timely episodes. We did not plan this.
No.
We just happened upon it. It was next in our line of episodes to be covered. Season 5, Episode 4, Delphi Killer.
It's very peaceful. It was. It used to be a peaceful place.
She got out of the car and turned around and told me she loved me, and then I drove away.
Initially, we didn't have a whole lot of concern.
I called her phone about 110 times.
Something was definitely off.
That's not Libby. hundreds and hundreds of people were showing up.
I still give her so much credit to this day.
I was closing my eyes, trying to recognize that voice.
You're just hoping it's not somebody you know.
Only a coward would do such a thing.
You're in a nightmare. And you're not waking up.
Well, we are in the small town of Delphi, Indiana, where People Magazine's editorial director tells us that Delphi is a place...
A small rural town where neighbors look out for one another and watch each other's children.
Yikes.
Watch each other's children? You can borrow milk. You can sell me Girl Scout cookies. But do not come knocking on my door asking me to watch your small child, because you will watch me slam my door in your face, Patricia. I wrote a song about it. Hit it!
Grab your kids and take their badass home. I'm busy scrolling TikTok on my phone. I don't babysit, I'd rather drink glass from a straw.
Listen, y'all. This is a really heavy, heartbreaking episode. This case, really, when I heard about it, I was like, oh gosh, no. So, like, this is our way of lightening up the episode at the top, because this is a lot.
Yeah, and it's timely. For those of you who don't know, we'll have a big update at the end, but the verdict just came in on this trial, so
yeah,
don't miss a beat. Also, remember, there is so much to this case. This case has been investigated online, web, online sleuths. It's just one of those cases that really sticks with people. And
yeah,
we're just recapping this episode. Obviously, we've done other research, but, you know, these are just hour-long episodes, and this case is layered.
Yeah. Also, the Carroll County Police really kept a lot of information from the public.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that always, oddly enough, sparks so much conversation, especially on Reddit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just really, really tragic. So just to give you an idea of what the town of Delphi is like, it's a lot of farmland.
Mm-hmm.
It's very rural. And we're talking about 2,500 to 3,000 people. And Sheriff Tobe Leasonby, I think I said that correctly. What is that name? If you had to guess where that man is, like, what? Leasonby. Leasonby.
I feel like it was a mishmash of a lot of last names. And they were just like, put a piece of that one, put a piece of that one, bada bing, you got a last name. I mean, where did they come up with Marsh from Maurizi? Like, they were like, it's too Italian, too Italian. How about a nice swampland?
Yeah,
that
something
sounds,
like that.
That works. Now you're marshes. Who knows?
Well, we'll just call him Sheriff Tobe. And he just says this is a very close-knit community.
And Mike and Becky Patty had lived in Delphi their whole life. They have three kids, and of those three kids, they had 9 grandchildren. And there's tons of extended family nearby. Now, 2 of those grandkids, Kelsey and Liberty German, came to live with them when their parents got divorced. Now, Mike and Becky Patty are here, and they're just sort of, you know, telling us about their life. You know, that's a very interesting dynamic, grandparents raising grandkids. I have so many questions. Because, you know, like, after you're done raising kids, you're like, woof, glad that's over. And they're like, ding dong.
Well, you know, my parents did that when my oldest brother went through a divorce. And for a while, he and the kids came and lived with my parents. It's a lot.
Was your bedroom door replaced by that time, my love? Or no, were the kids like, is there a door? We got doors.
Honey,
here.
By that time, I was long gone. I didn't care if that door ever saw the light of day.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
True crime stories can get messy, but your pits don't have to. Mando Whole Body Deodorant is powerful on odor and gentle on skin, so you can stay fresh even when life gets wild. Created by a doctor, Mando is baking soda and paraben-free and blocks odor all day, clinically proven to control odor for up to 72 hours. Choose from scents like bourbon leather or Mount Fuji and try the solid stick powered by mandelic acid. Mando's starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, 2 free products of your choice, and free shipping. As a special offer for listeners, new customers get 20% off site-wide with our exclusive code. Use code SCENT at shopmando.com for 20% off and free shipping. That's shopmando.com with code SCENT. Mando's got you covered. Protect your pits. Smell great doing it.
Now, Liberty, whose nickname was Libby, was a very adventurous kid.
Libby wanted to try everything. Mike did archery, so she decided she wanted to do archery. She wanted to golf, so we got her a set of golf clubs. She was willing to try anything.
And she was just very thoughtful in regards to other people. Just a really sweet kid. And Libby's sister Kelsey is here too, and she says they were best friends, always together, always chatting. They loved photography and the outdoors. And she said we would go basically like treasure hunting. It's very cute. And, you know, I forget in these areas, like, listen, I played in the woods when I was a kid. Like, I was outdoors a lot and I loved it. And I forget in these areas when there's not like a ton to do. So you are outdoors. You are going on adventures. You are like just searching around. It's so fun.
Well, I mean, don't you think growing up when we grew up was kind of like growing up in a small town? I mean, I didn't grow up in a small town, but we didn't have the internet or cable. And so we were just, you know, making up games. And my brother would ride on a bike and I would tie a rope around his waist and ride behind him on a skateboard. I mean, we were just a lot more creative back then. I mean, I ran away from home with 6 hot dog buns and some grape juice. Like, you know, it was kind of like growing up in a small town, even when you weren't in a small town.
Listen, I played with mops in the backyard. I used to take the mops and put them right side up so that the mop itself was long hair and I would dance with them. And then literally my dad would be like, "Where's Joey?" And mom would be like, "He's in the backyard dancing with the mops again."
He's so artistic. Are you artistic or gay? Please don't be gay. Please don't be gay. Mom, I'm gay. Anyway, so Anna Williams is also here. That was Abby's mom, who was Libby's bestie. And Anna explains that they moved to Delphi when Abby was in preschool. And we see her looking back at all of these pictures and talking about Abby, saying that she was really friendly. She was helpful. She loved music and arts and crafts. By the way, I am very into arts and crafts right now.
Good for you.
Yeah, I'm on Dollar Tree Christmas decorating TikTok. And I am about to make that my whole personality. What I plan to do is save a bunch of these videos, make a list of everything I need to get at the Dollar Tree, and get really excited to make all of the Christmas crafts, and then I'm not going to make any of them, I'll bet.
I was going to say, like, I can't wait for you to get all of it and just see, like, half-finished projects just all over your house.
Leave me be, okay? I did not buy tickets to this circus, and I'm sitting here watching all the clowns. Let me hot glue some shit, Joseph, okay? It's not ever going to get done, but just, like, thinking about it makes me happy, so back up off of me.
I support you.
Abby and Libby attend the same middle school, and they're very close. They're best friends.
They had been in a lot of the same classes, and then they ended up being in band and in volleyball together. And they had a lot of similar interests and mutual friends. Just typical best friends from middle school.
So Abby Williams and Libby German are besties in middle school, right? They had a lot of the same classes. They were both in band and played volleyball. They were just very well-rounded kids. So that brings us to Sunday, February 12th, 2017.
So Abby goes over to Libby's for a sleepover. Were you allowed sleepovers? I forget. Like in your religious little...
Yeah, we had sleepovers. Not a lot.
Weren't you always so much more excited to go to someone else's house than have people at your house?
No.
No? Why?
I don't know. I just felt uncomfortable in other people's houses as a kid. Like, no, that just was not the thing for me. But I loved having my friend, my best friend Ryan, would come over and we'd have a sleepover and I would pretend that I wasn't in love with him.
You did a great job. I'd always get excited to go to other people's houses because the odds of them having sugared cereal was very high. I was like, you got Cinnamon Toast Crunch? Because
honey,
we weren't allowed sugared cereal growing up. It's the little things.
We had fountains of Diet Coke in my house growing up, so there was no problem. So, yes, they have this sleepover because this is on a Sunday, and they're off on Monday. They explained it about, like, a makeup snow day or something.
Right, because the school, like, over here, we didn't have this growing up in California, but, like, they set aside a certain amount of snow days.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you, global warming, we don't use them all. So you can only be in school for a certain amount of days a year. And they're like, oh, we set that aside for a snow day. So then you just get like a free day at the end of the year. Lola's had that a couple days every year. Because back in the days of yore, we had four seasons.
Yeah, that part. Well, lucky for them, they're like, let's have this sleepover, and the next day we're just gonna spend the day outdoors. And mm-hmm. that's really the thing to do in Delphi, because there's not much else to do. There's no Chuck E. Cheese. There's no laser tag joint. So the girls go to the Delphi Historic Trails, which is about an 8-mile hike, and it's right outside of Delphi.
And so Libby asks her older sister, Kelsey, to take them to the trails, and unfortunately, she wasn't available to do so. And then the trails aren't really close enough to walk. It was about 8 miles away, and they really wanted to go. So she was like, okay, can you just drop us off, and we'll find a ride home? And Kelsey was like, yeah, I can do that. So Libby calls her dad, Derek, and is like, hey, Abby and I want to go to the trails. Can you pick us up when we're done, maybe around 3 o'clock?
Yeah.
With transportation arranged, Kelsey drives Libby and Abby to the trails, and she drops them off a little after 1 p.m.
I turned on this road, kind of the back way to High Bridge, and we stopped in this little area where there's a little sign that says Moon on High Bridge. I said, make sure you guys have your sweatshirts. So they both grabbed them, and Lib got out of the car and turned around and told me she loved me, and then I drove away.
Now, Monon High Bridge is sort of an old, broken down, like, train bridge, and it's 60 feet high.
Yeah, and it's rickety.
Yeah, there's no rails.
Oh my God, no guardrails.
No.
And the thing is that it's rickety, but people can, like, still walk all over it, like me. Yeah. And so it's really barely hanging on, but it's still serviceable to some people.
Well, it's wild because it was actually a common place for folks to hang out. So Abby's mom, Anna, did not want Abby on that bridge. Mm-hmm. It was very dangerous. It was actually kind of scary how broken down it is. But, you know, kids are kids. And I know if you tell me not to do something, I'm going to be like... Yeah, I don't like people telling me what to do. So 30 minutes into their adventure, Libby posts a Snapchat of the bridge and then a picture of Abby.
Which I'm like, girl, your mom told you not to go on that bridge. And she's like, social media is the place for this. Her mom's like, I told you not to go on that bridge. It does look terrifying when you see it from all angles. Like, I'm an adrenaline junkie. I love that stuff. But the no guardrails is really what freaks me out. I don't think I remember that looking back at pictures of that bridge.
Yeah, no. It's a no for me.
So remember, Kelsey is at work at the Dairy Queen, which also, I would work for trade at a Dairy Queen. That is how much I love Dairy Queen.
I don't like ice cream.
You say that all the time, and it's so weird. Now, people have told me that Dairy Queen isn't real ice cream, and I'm not here for the fake news. The truth of the matter is, I don't care what it is. I'm eating it. I'm going to fuck it up. I don't know. Eat the Dairy Queen. Matt Gaetz is attorney general. We're in the upside down. Get the blizzard, everyone. Get the blizzard. Is it the cold that you don't like?
Yeah, it's the cold. It's the texture. For me, a hot brownie right out of the oven. Oh my God, that flicks my bean so hard.
Okay.
Libby's dad calls his daughter around 3 p.m. to let her know he's nearing the pickup spot.
He was probably a mile or so away when he called to say, hey, I'm just about there, be heading back, but she didn't answer. And when he got to the trailhead to pick him up, they weren't there, so he called her again, and still no answer.
So Dad Derek gets out and starts searching for the girls near the pickup spot, but he can't find them. So at 3:30, Derek calls his mom, Becky, and says, I can't get in touch with Libby. Can you try calling her, texting her? Well, Grandma Becky can't get in touch with her either. And she says, you know, here's the thing. Libby was super responsible. Mm-hmm. And just like the rest of us, she always had her phone nearby.
Yeah.
So for her to not answer was concerning. And so now Grandpa Mike hears about this. He leaves work and heads to the trail to start searching for the girls. You know, it's that thing, right, where we've all been there, where it's like, okay, I'm not going to let my mind wander to worst case scenario, mm-hmm. but I am going to put some urgency in this and just sort of like get in there. I have been there.
Yeah.
Many times.
Yeah. And I mean, you kind of think of everything. Like, the first logical thing that I would think of is, oh, they dropped their phone.
Right.
What if they dropped their phone off the bridge, you know?
Right.
Because it's high, maybe they got... No, that would be the first thing that I would think about. And, like, I could also imagine Papa Derek being like... They lost track of time in the woods. They weren't paying attention.
Right.
Come on, I'm here. I would feel the same way. Yeah, you can't let your brain go to that place. But I love that Grandpa Mike was such a dumb butt. She's like, I'm coming over.
Yeah.
And also, Kelsey weighs in on this. They call Kelsey at the Dairy Queen, and they're like, hey, girl, reserve me a Snickers Blizzard. But also, I haven't heard from Libby. And she said the same thing. She was like, ooh, if she broke her phone, she's going to be in so much trouble.
Uh-huh.
I totally get it. And so something else that's adding to the urgency is it's going to be dark soon.
Yeah. So Abby's mom, Anna, was at work. And she was playing phone tag with Libby's family, so she didn't exactly understand what was happening.
I don't know if the volume was down, or I tried calling back and nothing would happen, and just back and forth, back and forth.
I was worried that they were hurt. That's all I kept thinking, is they've fallen, they're hurt. They can't call to us. They don't have the phone. It's not within their reach.
But the scariest part, and Abby didn't have a phone, we should say that. But the scariest part for Grandma Becky was, like you said, it's going to be dark and it's just going to make it so much harder to find them. And so when it does become dark, that's when the family decides to call the police.
Mm-hmm.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
So Sheriff Tobe is here and a little cocky, if I might add. He's like, we weren't super concerned. We have a good track record of finding people. I was like, maybe we adjust to the script, Sheriff Tobe. How about that?
I mean, it's February.
Yeah. So basically, Sheriff was like, all right, why don't you come down to the police station? I also think that's a little bit of a lax response, seeing as though they're kids. Oh, it'll be okay. We'll find them. I don't know. So they're like, let's all go to the woods. Now, it started just with the family, and then word kind of spread, and, you know, neighbors and people in the community started to like hear that the girls were missing, and more people got involved and kind of joined the search that night for poor Abby and Libby.
Yeah, and at this point, Abby's mom, Anna, finally got in touch with Grandma Becky, and she was like, look, this is what's happening. The kids are missing. We're going to go search. You should join.
Mm-hmm.
And Anna says, I knew something was off.
Yeah.
I knew something was off because all of us knew how terrified Libby was of the dark.
Yeah.
So she would never stay out any later than she had to. And again, the elements. The elements are a big problem here because it's February and it's going to get so cold.
Yeah.
So now they're searching and searching, and we hit midnight. And they still have not located the girls.
And the family was like, oh, you guys are calling it a day? Good luck with your project. Go home and eat your curds and whey or whatever. But we're staying out here because we haven't found these girls. The family was out till 3 o'clock in the morning that day.
Yeah.
Police, family, and members of the community have searched for Libby German and Abby Williams into the night. And by the next morning, the search intensifies.
I was back there about 7 o'clock in the morning. That's when the search was kind of resuming. You know, they were trying to get it coordinated.
And now there are tons of people out there searching. It was a massive search of friends, family, volunteers, also the Delphi Police Department, Indiana State Police, the County Sheriff's Office, canine units, dive teams, and a helicopter.
Yeah.
And, you know, I joke a lot about small towns and how I would never want to live there. You know, listen, I do a lot for the bit, but I will say, there are so many cases we've covered in small towns where you just watch an entire group of people, 3,000 residents, all galvanized behind this one cause. It's really beautiful to see because it's like, nope, that's one of our own.
Yep.
Or that's two of our own. And we're going to get them. We're going to find them. I love that.
It's very heartwarming and sad at the same time, but it's the village mentality.
Yeah.
You know, I do it for you because if that were me, I would want you to come help me look for my kid. And you're absolutely right. Every time I see things like that, I mean, there were like signups, there were community organizers. Yeah. And it's like, it's just like they sound the call and people come. It is beautiful. You're absolutely right. Everyone is doing whatever it takes. And all of these scenarios, did they fall in the water? Are they injured? Did they bump their head? Yeah. And so everyone is in different parts of the search. And Sister Kelsey is in the search that was near the bridge. And that's when her memory gets triggered and she said, oh my gosh, I remember Libby posted this Snapchat picture on the bridge and Abby was towards the end of the bridge. So Sister Kelsey is like, let's really search on and around the bridge. And, you know, thank goodness she thought that. And she just kind of like remembered. And again, Kelsey's like a young person too. And for her to just be like, wait a minute, just of all the things we see on social media, on Snapchat, for her to be like, wait a second, was really very genius.
Well, eventually someone along the creek yells out and they say, I found a shoe. And Sister Kelsey says when she heard what type of shoe it was they found, she said, I know that's either Abby or Libby's.
Mm.
So at that point, she was actually hopeful that they were getting closer to finding them.
Exactly.
At around 12:45 in the afternoon, one of the firefighters picks up a set of footprints and follows them to a location about half a mile east of Menon High Bridge. Moments later, his voice is heard over police walkie-talkies.
I heard some radio traffic that the girls may have been found.
And everyone is yelling, they found them, they found them. And Grandma Becky sees her sister crying. And Becky's like, why are you crying? They found them. And then Becky remembers this moment where she turns and out of the corner of her eye, she sees the coroner's van go by. And that is when she put two and two together. And she's like, oh, they're probably deceased.
Yeah, there was a lot of confusion, right? Because Grandma Becky was still at home and there were a lot of volunteers on this search. And so people just heard they found them and they went with that, not knowing the details of the situation. So there was a lot of confusion around it. And it's really just so tragic because it's the worst possible outcome.
Yeah.
These are just little innocent kids, you know? And you don't want to believe that this could happen to your family or happen in your town. It's a lot to grapple with in that moment. So Abby's mom, Anna, was at the fire station and she had no idea what was happening when a local minister sat her down to break the news. And she said, the minute he told me, I need to talk to you, I knew. I knew by the cadence of his voice.
Well, of course she knew. It's that intuition. And also, I was thinking that poor pastor, I'm sure when he was going up to say to Mama Anna, are you okay? Obviously in his head, he was thinking she had heard the news. I'm sure he did not wake up that day thinking he would be the one to deliver this devastating blow to this poor mom. I just, when I heard that, I was like, oh my stars. So then at 2 p.m. that day, they held a press conference and they explained to the media what exactly they found.
We have found two bodies in Deer Creek, about a mile east of town. We are investigating this as a crime scene. We suspect foul play.
Well, now, there's two things going on, right? We have the family that is coming to terms with the worst possible scenario.
Yeah.
And then we have the authorities that are like, cool, somebody deal with this poor grieving family. But we have an investigation to start because now we have a double homicide on our hands, because that's not what they thought they were getting themselves into. Of course not. Why would you think that? Why would you put in your brain that two babies went out for a walk and then they're deceased? So it's just absolute chaos. It's the devastation and the desperation of trying to find out what happened to these two baby girls.
Yeah. So after the police sit down with the families and confirm that it is indeed Libby and Abby, I mean, the family was in utter disbelief. It's just like, how does that land on you in real time? It takes a bit. But both the Carroll County Sheriff's Office and Indiana State Police join forces to begin a major investigation into what is sadly now a double homicide. They also brought in the FBI and several federal agencies to begin working on this case.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking in Delphi, Indiana, this is a little bit above their pay grade. And they bring in this amazing new computer system called Orin, and it's going to collect all the tips and information and categorize it. And thank goodness they do, because the tips that this investigation receives is just absolutely overwhelming. So now we're at February 15th, one day after the poor bodies of Abby and Libby are found and the autopsies are conducted. Now, as you said at the top of the episode, a lot of this is confidential and they won't tell the public or the media how they were murdered.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
There are facets of every investigation that are important to keep confidential. Those decisions are very strategic, and there were details of this case that was important not to become public information.
The person that killed those two little girls knows how he did it. We will not talk about how they were murdered. I will just simply say that they were murdered and let that eat us from the inside out.
Now, I have to admit, out of all of the high-profile true crime cases that everyone always comes back to, I never actually put my finger on it. I guess it's because it's two young girls. I never wanted to really invest my emotions in this story. I know about it, but it wasn't one of the ones that I've always come back to.
Yeah.
And it didn't dawn on me till, like, we really had to dive into this that I was like, oh, it's because it's kids. I don't want to put my energy into it. What do you think about them keeping all of this information confidential?
You know, I think that they also did not want to exploit their death.
Yeah, that's a really good call. Yeah.
Because so many times we see, you know, if you look at JonBenet Ramsey, there's still articles being written about it. There's still so much surrounding it. And I think with this particular case, you know, we did find out details later on.
Yeah.
And they're awful. And yeah. I think they wanted to protect the families as well, but also protect the investigation. You know, and there was a major public outcry for answers. And so I think that that was also strategic, because I think for a long time they were like, we just don't know. And so if they kept their cards close to their chest, they could sort of conduct this investigation without so much pressure. You know?
Yeah, I agree. I think the exploitation of it all. I think, though, and I'm not saying this is good or bad, this is really just a statement. I think people got more emotional and more invested because they were withholding information.
Yeah.
And I absolutely understand. I mean, if that were me, I wouldn't want the information about how my child died at the hands of someone else to be public information.
Yeah.
But it is what we are accustomed to, right? Them not releasing this information is not what we're used to. So I found it a really interesting part of the investigation, but I think a lot of people cried that, like, things were going wrong. They weren't being transparent, you know, because people online, they invest their emotions, their brain, their time, you know, they turn into these sleuths, whether you like it or not. And I think they felt like they weren't a part of the process. It's a very interesting dynamic for this case.
You know, I also think, too, there are people who are just nosy. Okay, but I think that most people really want the answers, because what they're trying to do is make sense of something that is senseless. So I understand that they just want to understand. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Complicating law enforcement's job is the crime scene itself, because it was outside.
This was an outdoor creek bank wooded area is what it was. You know, there were some obstacles related to evidence collection compared to an indoor situation where evidence is far more easily preserved.
And the area where Abby and Libby was found, that was actually private property.
Mm-hmm. And they look into the man who owns that property, and it was a 77-year-old man by the name of Ronald Logan. And he had lived in the area for 53 years, and they question him. They, of course, want to see if he's involved in any way, but more than that, they want to get as much information as to the comings and the goings and everything that they can get from these elements and possibly anyone else who might have been involved. So they question him as to his alibi, and he's like, let me stop you right there. It wasn't me. I was going to the city dump that day because I got, you know, just all this trash. And they basically were like, thank you so much for that information and for your cooperation. But I'm sorry, you said you drove to the dump that day?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tell them why they asked that question.
They were like, sir, just a really quick search of your history. You have a suspended license from a drunk driving charge in 2014. Well, you're going to have to come with us. They were like, your alibi checks out. Thank you for this information. But also, you're going to serve 2 years in prison for violating your parole.
Yep. Yep. Yeah.
He's like, I was walking to the dump. He just ratted on himself.
He sure did. He was like, fuck.
I was just trying to help.
Yeah, he's like, this is not how I thought this day was going to turn out. But, you know, the thing is he did have a solid alibi. So in the days following the murder, there's really so much public pressure for answers on the local police. And that is when they explain that they found Libby's phone. And after reviewing it, they believe they had a video of the killer.
This is just a part of this case that is so surreal. It's like every time we would see an episode of See No Evil.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh my God, that is the person who did this. It very much is giving me Alec Murdoch when they got Paul's Snapchat video. It's a guinea. That whole thing. I was like, oh my gosh, that's Paul coming from the afterlife to solve his own murder.
Yeah.
It's just, I think this is always going to be such a thing that tickles people's brains.
Yeah.
People's brains. Say that five times fast.
I know.
This video shows a white male wearing blue jeans and a blue jacket and a hat walking with his hands in his pocket across what is known as the High Bridge in that area. This evidence was taken from Libby's phone. She had the wherewithal to take a video of this person that was walking toward them. And we've been able to build potential identification of the suspect through this video.
He looks menacing. I can see why Libby felt inclined to take a video of him.
What a genius.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. And Sister Kelsey basically says the fact that she took that video doesn't surprise me because Libby was a kid who was hyper aware of her surroundings. She was very resourceful.
I can't believe that she did that. Now, the video is grainy as fuck. But the fact that they have some kind of an indication as to what this man looked like is beyond. And they take a still of the video and they release that far and wide through the media.
Yeah. And that was 2 days after the murder. And during this time, these poor, sweet, grieving families who I just want to hug throughout this entire episode, literally wrap my arms around them. These families are planning funerals for these sweet girls. And on Saturday, February 18th, 2017, a public memorial service is held for Libby and Abby at their school. And it was packed. Everyone came out to show their respect, to uplift the family. It's so weird to say, but it was like standing room. Like people were standing up because they wanted to be there to pay their respects. And it's really such a beautiful way to rally around grieving families.
And the whole town was in on it. They had a memorial at the girls' school and they had this biker memorial ride to raise money for the families. And so they had anticipated about 1,200 riders coming and taking this, you know, long scenic route together. 3,000 people on motorcycles showed up. I get chills just thinking about them.
Let me tell you something. The motorcycle community, they are a big family.
Yeah.
Even it's like funny because at Gay Pride, there's dykes on bikes.
Yeah.
That community too. They're just so, it's like a family, you know? And they're like, well, we take care of each other. It's really beautiful. Mm-hmm. I love that so much because when you think of motorcyclists, you think of like tats and leather and hard and like, I don't fuck with them. They have a bunch of teddy bears.
Yeah. They're a Tootsie Pop. Hard on the outside, soft on the inside. So remember that video that Libby geniusly recorded? Well, on February 22nd, they hold another press conference because there is also some audio on one of those clips and they play it for the press.
This guy That audio file was a key piece of evidence. In that audio, you can hear who we believe to be the suspect telling the girls to get down the hill.
Now they have this voice and they have this video. Is it someone they know? And they're trying to garner any information they can from these couple of words and this video. And there was a hill right past the bridge. So now all of these clues are slowly coming together for investigators.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Well, there was a $25,000 reward offered for anyone who recognized that voice, and it led to an arrest. Now, the FBI donated that $25,000, but the Indiana Packers donated $10,000 on top of that, and through the efforts of local businesses, they get the reward all the way up to $96,000. So it tells you a lot about the people of this area. It's really beautiful. And on top of that, Pat McAfee, who was a punter for the Indianapolis Colts, and team owner Jim Irsay, they make a matching donation of $97,000. So now the reward is at $200,000. Now, let me tell you something. For a grieving family, I can only imagine what that meant.
Yeah, that's a beautiful thing. Incidentally, my love, do you know what a punter is?
Yes, of course. I know football.
What is it?
The punter who kicks the ball.
Okay.
Don't you?
I know you know sports.
I know football, but like baseball, if you want to watch, the quickest way to put me to sleep is put me at a baseball game and a Coors Light in my hand. I'm out. I'm sleeping all 45 innings or ever, however long it goes.
45? Baseball games are like 5 hours, my love.
Yeah,
They got to hit the ball, run after the ball, run the bases, spit tobacco. Ooh.
No, the only thing I'm like, I like your pants.
They're very tight.
Yeah. So with this gigantic reward, investigators are really hoping that they'll get some valuable tips. But sadly, no one recognizes that voice and no new leads emerge from the video or the audio they released.
Which is crazy because it's so much more than other investigations would have. I mean, it is very sort of obtuse, you know, someone's kind of grainy, crackly voice. It just, you feel like you should know. Robbie and I just covered the Missy Beavers case and you clearly see this person. I mean, they're in all of this SWAT gear, but it's like, it's right there.
Yeah.
But 5 months pass after the murders and it's July 2017 and they're finally able to put together a composite sketch using the video from Libby's phone, as well as some eyewitness accounts that saw the possible perpetrator on the trail. And this is just an average looking white guy.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't know, 180, 120 pounds. They get.
Did you say 180 or 120? Big difference, my love. 60
Did I
pounds.
Say that?
He could be somewhere between 50 and 250 pounds. He's somewhere between the ages of 15 to 75. And he's somewhere between the height of 5'2 and 6'7. So do what you will with that information.
Did you all know what I meant? You all know what I meant.
Investigators received more than 40,000 tips.
40,000, which is why the Orion system that they have is so great, because it does sift through and organize all of these tips. It just makes it much easier for investigators to navigate.
You mean there is 40,000 people who are like, I know an average white guy. That average white guy looks just like that average white guy. In fact, he looks just like, there's so many average white guys. 40,000 of them, actually.
Yeah.
Just people calling about it. I mean, it's great that so many people are calling, but 40,000, that must have been so overwhelming. Like, just all of the information. It's like, you want all this information. You want as much information as possible, but like,
Yeah. Well, that's when police hear about a man named Kevin Sellers, who is the prime suspect in another murder case. Because in 2007, Kevin Sellers told police that he discovered the body of his uncle, deceased, after a self-inflicted self-inflicted gunshot in their home in Logansport, Indiana. Well, forensics took a look at the crime scene and they're like, yeah, this is not a suicide. This is a homicide based solely on the blood spatter. So police sit Kevin down and they say, what's up, Kevin? That story that you told us is not adding up. And also, we found out that you're the sole beneficiary of your uncle's estate. So you got some explaining to do, Lucy.
Yeah, and Kevin's like, I did it.
Literally.
I did it.
Literally.
He just surrenders, which, great. Thank you. We want the bad guys to say when they're bad guys, but he's like, I give up. You're right. I lied. I did it.
They barely put any pressure on that man. I was like, sir, do not subscribe to a life of crime. It is not for you.
So great that they have, you know, their guy. They have the bad guy. But did he kill Abby and Libby? Who's to say? Now they take a list of all the registered sex offenders in the area, which, my God. So then, September 2017, they find someone else that the investigative team finds really appealing and also resembled the sketch.
Over 1,000 miles away from Delphi, sheriffs in Monument, Colorado pull over a red Chevrolet Prism with an Indiana license plate. Police have been looking for the car after receiving reports of a man threatening cyclists with a hatchet.
That sounds straight out of a horror movie.
Yeah, that's terrible. Imagine just being like, I'm just trying to like be healthy and ride a bike in the outdoors, and here's this lunatic screaming at me with a hatchet in his hand. Wasn't on my bingo card. Well, this man's name is Daniel Nations. He's 31 years old and a repeat sex offender. And because
I'm sorry to interrupt you. Why is that a word? Why
right.
is that a phrase?
Yeah.
Repeat sex offender? Why was he given the opportunity to repeat such a disgusting offense? The thing I have learned all of these years is they are so light on sex offenders. Repeat sex offender shouldn't be a sentence that we ever say.
Yeah, listen, I don't know how to say this without sounding like I don't make the laws, but you know, there are degrees of sex offenses. And in Daniel's case, he had been fondling himself in public and that landed him as a sex offender. However, the thing that I'm thinking about is like, okay, what if he was doing that in front of a child? You know
yeah.
what I mean? It's really, so I wonder, I'm trying to make sense of it because yes, like sex offenders are sick people.
Mm-hmm. This is why I'm not in law enforcement. Touch yourself in public once, you go to jail for forever. Bye. You can't be trusted. Sorry. Alan, you're so tough on crime. Okay.
Well, Daniel, you know, Daniel really did fit the profile of someone who could have committed the Delphi murders. And so basically the police arrest him 1,000 miles away from Delphi in Monument. And in his car, they find a hatchet and a .22 caliber rifle. And he is arrested for illegal possession and taken to the local jail.
Now, amateur sleuths are going to amateur sleuth on the internet. Sometimes it's amazing and sometimes they just run away with things. But they find a bunch of his mugshots. It's a lot of mugshots.
It's a lot of mugshots.
Yeah. And people are like, that's it. That's the guy. But unfortunately, for me, that is not how you can adequately solve a crime. You can't just put people away because they look kind of sketchy. I mean, I'm going to take that to Congress. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's compelling. Nah, he looks creepy. Lock him up.
I don't like his wonky eye. Let's live.
Lock him up.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
So the police have to look into his past.
Now, listen, this man's got a rap sheet a mile long and also a pretty tragic life.
Mm-hmm. In 2002, when Nations was 17, his mother was stabbed to death by his uncle, James Cummings. Looking for some sense of direction after his mother's murder, Nations joins the Marines.
In 2007, he was discharged, but shortly after, he was convicted of indecent exposure for the first time. So After that event, he is constantly in trouble with the law. Traffic violations, drug possession, he missed court dates, and then he was arrested again for indecent exposure. And that is when he was classified as a sex offender, which means he has to check in with authorities every single week for the rest of his life, which I'm like, yeah, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, you know, I understand what you were saying about different degrees of sexual assault or, you know, sexual predation, but it usually is indicative of something bigger. And this is exactly what happens, because later he was arrested and convicted of domestic battery, and he hit his wife in front of their child. Yeah. So that's the thing. You know, someone might argue, well, he just, you know, took his willy out and was playing with it. Yeah, but that's not someone who's hinged. That's someone who is dangerous, who is potentially violent, and who is acting inappropriate. There are certain things that we can and cannot do in public, and it's just kind of like waiting to see what the next crazy thing somebody is going to do. That's the thing, is it's like, I don't want to wait around. I don't want to wait around for the next crazy thing.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. I'm like, are you testing the waters for something worse? Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't want to wait to find out. So in 2017, Daniel's brother, who was one of the few people he was close to, was murdered in a fight in Colorado pretty violently. Mm. And this was devastating for him. So Daniel and his wife and their two kids decide to move to Colorado for a while to demand justice for his brother. Well, when he gets there, he hears that his brother's killer had already pled guilty and was given 16 years in prison. So now Daniel's in Colorado and he can't find a job. He can't find a place to live, and he's got three mouths to feed.
Mm-hmm. So he then moves his family to Mount Hermon Road. And when I mean Mount Hermon Road, I mean just like sort of right there. It's a bike trail, and they set up a tent. And that's where they are staying for the foreseeable future. It just doesn't sound like a very well thought out plan. Like, I'm going to move my whole family to Colorado. I don't have any means to support or take care of myself, but this sounds like a great idea. And he gets there and he has nothing. So he's living on this trail, and the hatchet comes into play because there's all these like bikers whizzing by, and he's very concerned that they're waking up his baby and stuff. So, I mean, I see several other solutions to this problem, you know, maybe going to another part of the trail or finding a shelter or something. But he was like, nah, I'm going to start threatening people with a hatchet.
I'm like, okay, you were worried about the safety of your child, but you had no problem beating your wife in front of him. Okay, yeah. That makes sense. So like you said, that's when he begins threatening bikers with a hatchet, and it's reported to the police. They are told that he drives a Chevy Prism, and that is how they're able to track him down and arrest him.
On September 29th, 2017, 4 days after Nation's arrest, Indiana State Police send detectives to Colorado to interview him. Nations is adamant that he had nothing to do with the Delphi murders. He tells police that at the time of the murders, he was homeless, living in a tent behind a liquor store in Decatur.
And he was like, I've never been to Delphi. I would have no means to get to Delphi. I couldn't even point to Delphi on a map. Well, sir, neither can Joey Taranto, and he is sus as fuck.
What the fuck?
I don't know. You're Joey, where's Indiana on the map?
Somewhere in the middle.
And then Daniel also explains, he's like, let me tell you something else. Not that you asked, but my dad actually went to prison for child molestation, and I would never hurt a child. Authorities don't believe him. I don't particularly either, but he does produce an alibi.
He sure does. Daniel was with his wife at the doctor's office while she was getting an ultrasound, and that alibi checks out. So they know now that Daniel has zero connection to the Delphi murders, and investigators are really frustrated because it is, once again, another dead end. Mm-hmm. And so now they have to shift their focus. They begin looking at other homicides in the area that had similarities to the Delphi murders. And it turns out in July of 2012, 10-year-old Lyric Cook Morrissey and 8-year-old Elizabeth Collins, who were cousins, were reported missing in Evansdale, Iowa. They had been riding their bikes in the downtown area when they disappeared, and Evansdale is about 400 miles north of Delphi. Now, I understand why they wanted to go down this path with looking into this case. At the end of the day, there was no connection. There was no lead found, and then they had to move on.
Right. These are the blue balls I was talking about before. They really take us down these rabbit holes. We're like,
Yeah?
No.
Then in January of 2019, the case takes a turn when police in Union City, Indiana, arrest a man named Charles Eldridge in a sting operation. Eldridge allegedly went online to try to arrange a sexual encounter with a 13-year-old girl.
So this moldy piece of cheese, as luck would have it, he was not talking to a 13-year-old girl. Oh, no, no. He was talking to a police officer, and he was charged with felony child molestation and solicitation. So he was awaiting his trial, and hopefully they lock him up and put away the key.
Yeah, I will never understand that as long as I live. His mugshot is released, and the public reaches out to the police saying, hey, this man looks a lot like the composite sketch that was released for the Delphi murders. And police realize this man has a history of soliciting and assaulting underage girls. He also was obsessed with posting missing children's reports on his Facebook page, as well as really violent, disturbing images. And it's in his Facebook feed that investigators realize Charles had posted an alert, which included the still image from the video on Libby's phone of their suspected killer. And his comment was, hey boy, this might be it. And so this man is very odd. And even his own family was like, yeah, he does look a lot like that composite sketch.
And his grandmother was a narc. His grandmother was like, he is a weirdo. Okay, let me tell you about my grandson. He would dress all up in camo and go to the woods carrying rifles. That man has never hunted so much as a pigeon in his life.
Mm-hmm.
I do not know what that weird man is doing in the camo. Nobody knew what he was doing in the woods. And the whole family kept their distance from him.
Yep.
They were like, whatever you do, don't let your grandkids get anywhere near cousin Charles. I was like, again, why is he able to be out and about if he has a history of this, if he is posting these things, if even his own family doesn't trust him? It just does not make sense.
Well, in spring of 2019, Charles Eldridge was charged with 5 additional counts of child molestation. And even with all of that horrible information, Indiana police cannot connect him to the Delphi murders. So there's many ups and downs in this investigation. On April 22nd, 2019, police hold a press conference where they release a new composite sketch of the suspect. And it's very confusing for the media, for the family, for everyone who's following this case, because this composite sketch looks absolutely nothing like the original composite sketch. They put them side by side. I was like, those are two entirely different people.
They're different sizes. They're different races. Like, could we have found something in the middle? It was like, they just put a picture of you and me up there. They're like, it's something in between these two.
It's so odd. But this sketch was made from a description given by an eyewitness on the trail the day of the murders. And it was made back in 2017, but police never released it. And seeing how they had no new information, they're like, I mean, maybe this will help. I don't know. I found it very confusing. It was strange to me.
Somebody knows who this person is. Somebody knows. That voice, somebody knows that voice. Somebody knows the gait in the walk. And it's probably somebody living in excruciating fear for their own safety. Eventually, somebody's going to tell me that was my dad, or that was my brother, or that was my husband, or that was my coworker. And that's the only missing piece. The only missing piece.
Well, you know, this is really kind of where the episode ends.
Yeah.
It ends with the family just always, you know, they always talk about their lost loved ones and how much it has rippled through their family's hearts and their everyday lives and how they just walk through the earth. And really, it's been huge in the true crime community. People have really been attached to this case. And that is where the episode ends, because when they had this episode, that's where the story ends. But obviously, we're in the future now, and we have much more information.
Yeah.
So on October 31st, 2022, authorities announced that a man by the name of Richard Allen was arrested for the double murder of Abigail Williams and Liberty German. And he told the state conservation officer that he was in the area the day of the killings, but, like, he said he had nothing to do with it. Now, this man was a local husband, father, and prosecutors alleged that he tailed the girls on the high bridge, forced them down the hill into the nearby woods, which is where they were murdered. And as you know, just the other day, a jury of 5 men and 7 women found Richard Allen guilty on all 4 charges. So his sentencing hearing will take place on December 20th, and Allen faces between 90 and 130 years in prison. So there is still a lot of discourse about this. Joey, I know you looked a lot into it as well, all of the post-conviction stuff. So everyone online is very split down the middle because the actual evidence against Mr. Allen is very minimal. And now there's so much to go into. I mean, there are far more sophisticated podcasts that have multiple part series about where they found the phone and a bullet that they found on the scene. Spoiler alert, the girls were not killed by a gun. But there's a lot of subjective and unscientific evidence that was presented. However, they also explained that Allen actually confessed over 60 times while he was in prison. He confessed to his wife, his mother, family members, the prison warden, psychologist, the psychologist who treated him in prison, as well as employees and other inmates. So much so that on April 3rd, 2023, he called his wife and said, quote, "Honey, I did it. I killed Abby and Libby." And, you know, the psychologist testified and everything. But then here's the thing that people are pushing back with on that. Allen had been held in solitary confinement for 13 months. So the defense was sort of placing all of his confessions in the context of him being in a mental health crisis. And he was on suicide watch. He was exhibiting wild and bizarre behavior. And they also diagnosed him for a brief time with a psychotic disorder. So, you know, there are people online saying they got the guy, that's who did it. And then there's like, right, but there's actually no evidence. What were you thinking when you were looking at all of the post-conviction stuff?
Well, you know, I wasn't in the courtroom. I didn't hear all the testimonies. I didn't see what, you know, the evidence that the prosecution produced. I wasn't privy to that. And, you know, I take a lot of that with a grain of salt that I see, because there's tons of TikToks about it and there's a lot of Reddit threads. But I did listen to a podcast that's hosted by two people who actually were in the courtroom where the trial was being held almost every day, but they didn't go for the conviction because they knew it was going to be kind of like a media circus. But these two people were like, given everything we saw in the courtroom and seeing everything that the prosecution presented, we are 100% sure that they got the right guy.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
That's great, because I've seen back and forth online and I didn't follow the case. Again, you know, we can't follow everything, and this is something I've sort of just distanced myself from.
Yeah, I mean, it's very
hard. The girls were like, you know, Lola's age, and it's just, I see those pictures that they released in my head. Of course, we want them to have the right guy. I'm just always worried when people give pushback. Why are you giving pushback? Because we all want the bad guy to be in jail. So I'm always fascinated. I'm not always looking for a wrongful conviction or anything like that, because I want to make sure the right guy is there. It just seemed like an awful lot of people screaming false confession, but I can kind of go back and forth with that because 1, 2, 3, 60?
Yeah, listen.
I'm pretty sure he was trying to get that off his spirit.
Listen, I think that there's a couple things to consider, right? One, whenever there's a very public murder investigation, perfect example, Scott Peterson. There was so much pressure. And just saying the name Scott Peterson is...
You're going to get DMs. No, you're going to get
but
DMs.
But it's polarizing
Facebook
for people.
Facebook is going to light the fuck up.
Yeah, it's polarizing for people. And there was a lot of pressure on that police department to find the killer, to get the answers. And I'm not saying this is the case with Scott Peterson, because I'm not going down this road with people. There are people who just cannot have an open discussion about it, and that's fine. I respect it. I understand it. But there are cases where they got it wrong. We've seen it happen where investigators get it wrong and they wanted to close the case, get the answers, get the bad guy, because they had so much media scrutiny, public outcry for it. So we've seen it happen, right? So I understand the speculation about whether or not they got the right guy. The other thing is that when I watch TikToks or I read Reddit threads, but specifically anything I see on social media, I have to remember that for some people, this is about getting views and likes. It's content. It boosts their platform. And I'm like, oh, right. I have to remember that you probably actually don't care about this case. What you care about is getting that check cleared. You know what I mean?
You're absolutely right. Yeah. Well, if those people were there every day and they were convinced and the jury convicted them, listen, these families have suffered for so long.
So long.
I think there are positives and negatives to having such a high profile case, because everybody knows this. When I clicked that this was our next episode, I was like, oh, here we go. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And it's also not a case you can just sort of wrap up in 44 minutes.
No.
So I wish the family nothing but peace in their closure and this next chapter, because it truly will be a new chapter of healing.
Yeah.
Now that they have a killer and they can, I don't know. I can't pretend to know what they feel, but knowing that whoever did this to those babies is behind bars, and if it's the right man, then justice is served. Yeah. And I am satisfied. Say something funny.
I want you to know that this is a heavy episode. This was a lot. We always are very sensitive when it comes to kids. My nipples are so hard right now because it is still, it's got to be 40 degrees in this room. I am so cold. What's your name? What's your middle name, Marie? I could write it on glass with my nipples. That's how cold it is in here. You want a diamond? I'll cut it for you.
Y'all join the Patreon so Joey can get a portable heater. What do they pay you at? I think not. Someone call HR. Bow, bow, bow. Wow, 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 wow. All right, everybody, that brings our Journey with People Investigates to a close. If you have a show that you are dying for us to cover, go ahead and throw it in our Facebook group or send us a DM, because we're here for you. Whatever you want to hear, we are here. Or whatever you want to see, because have you subscribed to our YouTube channel yet?
Have you? What are you doing? Which is a great time to tell you, we have a YouTube channel. You can find us at I Think Not Pod. If you can like, subscribe, all the good things. You know, Parker's doing the Lord's work with our editing, and I love what he does with our songs. It's very funny. Also, follow us on social media. You can find us at I Think Not Pod on all platforms.
And join our Facebook group, the I Think Not Facebook discussion group. And if you are joining our paint party, don't forget the list of supplies are up on our Patreon page. Don't forget to use a coupon. Don't come to our party paying full price. You know that's the fastest way to piss me off. Until next time. Be sure and tell someone you love them today.
Yeah.
And I love you, Joey.
I love you too, Yellow Marie Marsh. And I love you, DBs, you little blessings.
Love you, Dumb and Dumb.
Love you. Bye. I'm frozen.
I don't think Rick has ADHD, my love, so he doesn't always get our silly brains. He seems like a very neurotypical person, Rick Watt, our editor.
I need to paint this room. I'm tired of looking at it like this.
You always say that.
I really am. Oh, God, no, that's a terrible joke to make. Okay, sorry.
Nah. Thank God you listened to me.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.